What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Teed It Up with CFB, the number one sports podcast in the Southeast Metro Detroit region. I'm your host, Connor, as always, with the B of CFB. Vladdy, my co-host, is with me. What's going on, man?
Not much. We're getting ready here. We're going up for the Spartan this upcoming, or on Wednesday, I guess. So by the time some people listen to this, maybe we're already up there, but I'm excited. That's always a great weekend. Get to golf with just a lot of the guys. Always entertaining time. I am the back-to-back defending champion, even though certain parties do not recognize the first official tournament is happening. So there's a little bit of a dispute there, but all I'll say is I am a two-time Spartan Invitational champion.
Yeah, it's quite impossible to be a two-time Spartan champion when this is only the second year of the event. Yeah, I don't know. You and I are partners, so we're going to go back-to-back here. Should be fun. Yeah, I'm a little nervous. Defending your title is a little nerve-wracking, I'm not going to lie. I feel like there's more expectations going into this year than in past years, aka last year.
Yeah, we're golden. I've got the driver figured out. I'm putting a little bit better with the Scotty Cameron. I'm Mr. Pay to Play now, and yeah, I'm ready to dominate.
Pay to play. Yeah. let's get into some real people that play real sports or play it a little better than us. Today's episode is basically going to be mostly pretty much all of it is going to be a college football preview. We're going to go over who's and where, because it's obviously a lot of changes. Give kind of the teams we see making this year's expanded playoffs and go over what we feel college football will be this year. Before we get into that, we'll just kind of briefly do a nice little cherry on top to what the Olympics were. They ended yesterday. The U.S., we won the Olympics. We tied with gold medals for China and then the tiebreaker. I don't know if that's the official tiebreaker, but the tiebreaker in my head is just total medals after that. And we had many more after that. China, I don't know if you know this, but there were five of China's 40 gold medals were from ping pong. They won all five. And I don't know. Not at all what we talked about we were going to talk about going into this, but I just remember that, and I thought that was interesting. Yeah. Why are there five ping pong events?
I mean, well, you have singles, doubles,
men's, women's.
Women's, and then you probably have mixed as well.
Oh, mixed. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's what I would assume is the fifth. I've got some other thoughts, but I probably won't share them here just because I prefer not to get canceled.
Okay. I mean, I guess really on notable news over the last week was both basketball teams in the U.S. won. The men's, they get it done with two pretty close and entertaining games against Serbia and France. For me, I guess I'll go with the overall outlook with that. It was good to get it done. It's clear that the rest of the world has caught up and made these games a little more. I don't necessarily look at it as like the U.S. has necessarily gotten worse. I look at it as maybe the world has caught up in some respects. And so it's even makes for even more entertaining basketball and it makes it even more impressive. And it is kind of the culmination of this era in that Steph, KD, LeBron, we're kind of the big three on this team as far as playing time and performances. Obviously, LeBron wins the MVP. Steph went off himself in the gold medal game. And they're, I believe, 35, 36, and LeBron will be 40 years old. So this is kind of it for that group in this era to kind of get it done on the international scale. So I thought that was cool. And that, I guess, is the cherry on top, not only to the Olympics, but to that group in that era of basketball.
I agree completely. I guess the only thing I can maybe slightly draw a parallel to with like soccer and the international tournaments there is it is kind of fun when you have an international tournament and you're playing country versus country and maybe you see a little bit more passion and people that are around, let's say in NBA standards, people that are around the league that have never had a reason to root for a Steph or a LeBron or a KD. And for more often than not, had reasons to root against them just because they dominated their favorite teams for 20 years. It's nice, I think, for a lot of people kind of realize maybe what that kind of international sense is and how much fun that can be.
And like, it's a good point you make with just like the rooting for guys you would never root for, like how much fun it is to root for a guy like Steph when he's doing what he did in that gold medal game, just shooting the lights out. when you rooted against him or hated him for the last 15 years or
Yeah,
whatever.
I never did. I was always a Steph guy.
Yeah, it's easier for us because he's been on the West Coast his whole life.
I was just bullshitting. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
And it's not like the Pistons have been good and he somehow dis like denied us titles or something. Like,
Right.
what are we supposed to
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean that's kind of all I got. I know Spain won the soccer, right?
Yeah, I mean, they did, but it's just not a, like I said, I've always said the Olympic soccer has no relevance to kind of what the real world soccer is. And
Because
yeah,
it's smaller, right? Because
well,
it's
I think I said it before last year, 2 weeks ago. It's mostly comprised of under 23 players. You can only have three guys over that age, and the club teams that pay the players to play, they're allowed to just say no, he's not going to play. So you like, yes, it's a nice tournament for younger players to kind of have a kind of a stage, if you will, to like put their name out there, but the level of competition is not the greatest.
So it's essentially what the NHL, like the hockey is in the Winter Games.
Yeah, that might be perfect.
Yeah. Although that's going to change here soon. They're just going to continuously go back and forth with that for hockey. Yeah, that's kind of all I got on the Olympics. Anything
Yep.
else you want to add?
Nope. Let's get to college football. This is kind of like you said, the main topic. We're not going to cover Michigan State specifically. We're going to save that for, I think, next week or the week after, depending on kind of how timing goes. We're just going to talk about a kind of national, broader view, explain a little bit about the new playoff, because even myself, just reading about this in the week lead up, I kind of didn't fully understand the new 12-team playoff and how certain kind of rankings and seedings would go. So I'll get into that at some point, but I'll just quickly kind of go off on not necessarily a little tantrum, but a little bit of a pessimistic viewpoint of what's to come. Welcome to the modern age. All the people who wanted participation trophies complained and complained and complained, and this is what you get. Welcome to a world where teams who are 9-3 and potentially 8-4, if you're a big enough brand, are going to get into the playoff. And you guys wanted this. You wanted excuses for mediocre teams who have talent advantages in 85% of their games to not get the job done and still have a chance at titles. So this is what we get. Teams like Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, maybe a Michigan if they're not under death penalty sanctions, maybe a Clemson if Dabo Swinney does ever figure it out, they'll never miss the playoff again, because they have 10 wins built in every single year based on talent. And now, even if they don't get to the 10 wins, and let's say they get 9 or 8, they will always be taken over a different 9-3 team for money reasons. So congratulations, you wanted this. This is what you get.
Yeah, I guess my counter to that, and I definitely agree with a lot of those points you make, is a lot of that necessarily a bad thing? Because like the NFL goes through that where maybe the individual game doesn't mean quite as much because you can still lose 8 games and make the playoffs. That's not what we're talking about here. Do you think it's different because there is such a wide gap that it's just
Yes, it's
there's not it's not going to create still not going to create enough parity to where it's not worth making the games or the individual games mean less.
I don't even think it's about the parity. It's like, first of all, you have 128 teams versus 32, or 130 or 131 at this point in the FBS versus 32 in the NFL. You mentioned talent disparities. I just mean it from perspective of everyone sat there and complained about, oh, the little guy needs a chance. The only thing you did, and I've said this before as we've talked about kind of the pros and cons before this became official, the only thing an expanded playoff does is give the big teams mulligans, and now they can go lose 2 games and then kick the shit out of you in January. Because guess what? Most teams are not good enough to beat Georgia or Ohio State once, let alone twice in the same season. So that's all I'm saying is maybe I'm jumping the gun here before we've actually seen this happen, but I see no world where you're gonna have the same four dominant teams like just massacre everyone. Congratulations. Yeah, you added some close games in the first round in the 6 versus 11 seed game, but all that is just a route to see who wants to get shat on by the 2 seed or the 3 seed afterwards. I don't believe it does. I believe it does more, not necessarily more harm than good. I just think that it kind of, as I argued before, it gives the richer teams more tools, more ways to get around things, and just margin for error that they more maybe didn't have before.
But I'll say this, there's no flukes and there's no like you're gonna get the best teams in the best games now. Like, say you get a team like a Michigan, Ohio State that loses that game, whoever loses that game is out and not in the playoffs. That team is usually one of the best four teams regardless, and they're still gonna have a chance, and you're still gonna have, there's not always four great teams. And I think that's, I actually think it could be in combination with the transfer portal. You're not gonna see the quite like the dominant teams like you used to. I mean, Michigan went undefeated last year, but they played an overtime playoff game. They played a close game with Ohio State. They played a one-score game with Penn State. Like, they weren't like leaps and bounds above a lot of teams to where I guess
I
I'm,
disagree.
you don't think so?
That Michigan team would have beaten anybody in America. The year before that, you had an undefeated Georgia. Then I guess you had a one-loss Georgia. The year before that was an undefeated Alabama. The year before that was probably the greatest college football team of our
But now
generation.
you're
Then an
looking at, that's
undefeated Clemson.
pre-NIL now. Now you're in pre-NIL.
I'm just saying is I think that this I don't think there's this argument that this somehow we've argued this as well. All you're doing is letting teams basically skip out on a couple high school recruits, not necessarily intentionally, but they'll miss some high school recruits. They'll go prove it at Coastal Carolina, and suddenly it's, hey man, come on down to Athens, come on down to Tuscaloosa, we'll see you in Columbus. And I don't necessarily think that, like, I'm not saying it shouldn't be this because the money is the driving factor. I get it. I just think that all you're doing is you're moving towards an NFL light. You're gonna get to a point where you're going to have 32, 40, 48, whatever teams you want in two super conferences. Everyone else is going to go the way of the dodo bird. They're all going to disappear, and you're going to sit there and you talk about watching the same teams. You're really going to start watching the same teams because there won't be any other teams. And that's all because everyone wanted participation trophies.
But like, were there other teams in the four team thing? Like, not really. It was the same six or seven schools in it every year.
I mean, if we want to, the last year we had Texas, Washington, Cincinnati. Then, yeah, I mean, you had Oklahoma for a bit. If you want to go all the way back to Oregon, Florida State, Michigan State, Washington again.
Right, but that's like one team a year.
Yeah, but at least that one team earned their way there. They sat there and they did what they needed to do, which was win the important games. Not like I
But
said.
isn't it even more impressive to win the important games and beat another top 12 team to get to that semifinal game?
No, because that top 12 team has three losses. What do they say? I can't support in a sport that has so much parity that a team that is 750% winning percentage. I just doubled the percent statement for no reason, but
So,
I
yeah, I know
can't
what you mean.
support that as a good team in a world where you have such a talent gap. Look, and I don't want to keep kind of reinventing the wheel because we're going in a circle here and kind of maybe shooting this down before it's fully happened, but I see more harm than good with this. We'll check back in 5 years, but I see more harm than good with this.
You want to get into the conferences then? The
Yes.
Big Four or the
Well,
Power
actually,
Four now?
do we want to go conference by conference? Because I didn't want to highlight the new playoff format. Because like I said, there was
Yeah,
something
let's
that
start
I
with that.
kind of learned as well. So do we want to start with that or go conference by
Yeah,
conference?
let's start with that.
All
Start with
right.
that.
So this is what I was reading, and maybe I was just fully aloof and I didn't realize it, but obviously, the four highest ranked conference champions are the 1 through 4 seeds. We know that. This still leaves a fifth conference champion as an auto bid as well. So you are with the fall of the Pac-12, you are guaranteed to have a group of five team in the playoff every single year under this format. The way that team is going to be seeded is if that fifth conference champion falls outside of the top 12, they will assume the 12 seed. If they are anywhere else in the top 12 of the rankings, they will assume that place. And this is also another problem where I am going to distinctly say differences between seeding and rankings because there's going to be differences. The College Football Committee's final rankings will not always be the final seeds of the playoff. If you have, like I said, let's say you get two upsets in the Power Four championship. And when I say upset, I don't mean a 7-5 Northwestern because divisions are gone and now you're actually gonna have good teams playing each other, which is nice. No more East versus West in the Big Ten. But if you have two upsets, you could have, let's say, a 12-1 Georgia that was the number one team in America for the entire season. They lose their game. They might only drop to the number three ranked team, but they can't be a top four seed because they're not a
Right.
champion. So they have to
Right.
slide to five, and it kind of fills out down the rankings list with whatever team's left. So that was something that I maybe didn't fully kind of read about or didn't fully understand until reading about it in preparation for this. So I was nice about that. I guess, I mean, the auto bids and the auto buys does have that complexion that I just talked about with the differences. I guess another thing that most people obviously know, the first round games are on campus. Five teams, 5, 6, 7, and 8 will be hosting. And from the quarterfinals onward, it will be at the New Year's Six Bowls, and then you're just going to have the national championship rotate like the Super Bowl. I think they missed kind of a big chance to have the quarterfinals games be played on campus as well, but
Agreed.
you know, gotta have your money, I guess. So more
I was
power.
gonna say, I think they have to prove that those are profitable for them.
Well, no, I understand why it works out perfectly in a numbers game where if you start at the quarterfinals and your semifinals, you have your New Year's Six bowl games
Six,
take up
right.
those six, and then like I said, you just move the title game around. So I get why they did it. I just think that you missed a chance where if you're one of the four highest ranked conference champions, yeah, you get a bye week, but you also lose that playoff game on your home field, which that's got to be magical. And it's a shame that maybe Michigan State will never host one of those, but
No.
I assume that would be so much fun, you imagine. And I think the other thing that I've said before is it's nice because for the first time ever, a team from the South is going to come to the North potentially
Yeah,
in the
in the
snow.
winter.
And we're not
Yeah.
going to have to listen to all the stupid narratives we used to listen to with SEC and bowl season. And maybe, just maybe, that some of those teams can see what it's like to play in snow.
Good point. I did so. I guess I didn't really know that much about the group of five school. How is that going to be? Like, what if we have 2 10-2 power group of five champions?
Whoever's
How do
ranked higher.
you? Okay.
So the committee still gets to do whatever the committee does, which is pick and choose who
Right.
they want to be in. They'll still play mental gymnastics. They'll still play logistical gymnastics. And they'll still play, I don't want to call it legal gymnastics, but they'll play the rules gymnastics where they create and bend and remove and do whatever they want to do so they can put in whoever they want to put in. That's not going to go away.
And that doesn't count Notre Dame, correct?
That's also another thing I was get to at the end after we got to the conferences is the other nice thing, and that's just because I hate this school so much, Notre Dame could go 1,000-0 in the regular season for the next 100 years. They could never be a 1-4 seed as long as they're not in a conference, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. That is one
But
of the
they've
few
kind of
things.
guaranteed, like, they're going to be in it nearly every year,
Yes,
though.
that's the other part is they've got the Mickey Mouse ACC schedule where they play six cupcakes from that conference. Then they get USC, which I hope the Big Ten stops allowing them to play. Then they'll get a couple other independence game, and then they'll have their one or two cupcakes as always. But yeah, Notre Dame is I probably should have mentioned at the beginning they will never miss a playoff again, or they shouldn't.
Anything else on the format?
No, I was gonna say that was something that I kind of learned about completely as I was preparing for this, and that was nice to kind of note the difference between seed and ranking, because I'm sure people will be confused when that first one comes out in December and people are like, whoa, what just happened?
Yeah.
But yeah, what conference are we starting at?
Let's start with our home conference. It's what I had first in my
I
notes.
love it.
The Big Ten or the Big Six, what is it now? 16.
Are we not at 18?
18. I knew it was some high teen number. So the Big Ten, big experimental year for them. They kind of add the most of anybody. They add Oregon, USC, UCLA, and Washington, all those West Coast schools coming in. And I think it's kind of a two-team race. I don't know about you. I think it's you could argue that they're the two of the I think there's a distinct top three from what I've seen this year. And two of those teams are in the Big Ten.
Yep.
And that's Oregon and Ohio State.
You didn't have Michigan State there with Ohio State? What?
No, unfortunately, I missed out. I didn't see they missed my notes because I only talked about teams that have a shot at a decent season.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
But yeah, both of those two schools had transfer quarterbacks, Will Howard at Ohio State, and Oklahoma's Dylan Gabriel is now a Duck. Oregon, firepower. seems like they've recruiting wise been at the top of their game for the last couple of years now, and it's only getting better. Ohio State, same thing. This is kind of, they got pretty much everybody coming back this year off a team that failed by Ohio State standards. Not only that, but it's kind of Ryan Day's last chance here. If this team does not beat Michigan and or play in a top, I'll say a semifinal, if not a national championship, he is gone probably. So their expectations are high and the pressure is high on them. And then the rest of the conference, as far as the additions, the other three are all going to be quality adds for football, I think. Maybe not this year. I don't think USC or Washington are going to be bad. They're going to be solid teams, and they're going to be 7, 8, 9, perhaps even 9-win teams. UCLA is going to suck. I don't know if you saw the UCLA, their new coaches press conference at the Big Ten Media Day. It was, I'll send you a video after this. And for those listening, look up whatever his name is. I don't know. They have a new coach, obviously, this year. His Big Ten press conference was the most sad, pathetic thing I had ever seen. Anything you want to add as far as the Big Ten?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll kind of go team by team, add a little bit more to what you say. You talk about Oregon. This might be the most hyped team in America this year.
Definitely.
All I hear about is how great they are and what a great job Dan Lanning has done, and how Phil Knight has said, here is unlimited NIL money because I'm 85 years old or however old he is at this point. I want to see a national championship at Oregon before I die. And I want to pump the brakes slightly, not by saying they're going to be a bad team, but we heard the same talk last year, and in two shots at the Washington team, they couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
Now this year, they're going to move into a tougher conference. Obviously, expanded playoff, yay! They're not going to miss a playoff. They would have to probably go 7-5 because I think with their preseason ranking, which I'll get to those too, how I hate those, but with Oregon's preseason ranking, 8-4 might get them in.
They do play Ohio State, Michigan. So there's going to be losable games on that schedule for
Oh,
them too.
absolutely. I'm just saying it's I just where I was going to go with this is I need to see Dan Lanning win a big game before I can sit here and
Sure.
appoint this team as, oh my God, this is a contender for a title. It's like, because
I
like,
agree.
I mean, now this is me. I haven't looked at this. Has Dan Lanning or did Mario Cristobal win a Pac-12 title game? I don't recall them doing
I
that.
don't think
So
so, no.
it was usually Utah or one of those USC years or Washington that was in the Rose Bowl game in the big against the Big 10 champ. So again, I might be completely missing something, and if so, I apologize, but I need to see Dan Lanning win one of the big games before I sit here and say this team's going to go toe to toe with Ohio State and Georgia. Speaking about going toe to toe and not getting the big game done, we got to talk about Ryan Day. You mentioned it. I'm going to sit here and say it's national title or bust for Ryan Day. And I don't mean it in the sense that Ohio State's going to fire him if one or the other doesn't happen. I
Right.
just mean that I have been one of the last, and not maybe not last, but I'm one of the people who really, really defends him. If you look at his success, he's played for a national title. He makes playoff games.
He has not lost to a Big Ten team not called Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the fact that he's a missed kick away from winning a national title 2 years ago with CJ Stroud. So he's certainly been there, and he's been so close. But just like Dan Lanning, you got to win the big game, Ryan. You bring in Chip Kelly to go be your offensive coordinator, an experienced guy. You bring back everybody except for Marvin Harrison Jr. You bring in Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss to form the best running back room in America with TreVeyon Henderson. You bring in freshman All-American safety Caleb Downs from Alabama. You continue to be this kind of football factory. Obviously, Emeka Egbuka could potentially have a Rome Odunze type year where Egbuka was looked at as a late first round, early second round prospect as a wide receiver. He comes back, puts up 1,200 plus yards. I wouldn't be shocked if we see his name get called in the teens for next year as a draft prospect. This is a team that's loaded. You mentioned Will Howard. I don't know if it was when we were talking or beforehand. They bring in Will Howard, who played pretty well at Kansas State. How much of an upgrade is that on Kyle
Yeah.
Hondamacord? I'm not really sure. But this is basically a team that pulled the Michigan of last year, where a lot of these guys felt they had unfinished business. They're all going to come back, and it is national title or bust from my perspective of if you can't do it with this team, or at least beat Michigan, like you said, and go play for a national championship. Because you know what? Injuries happen. Something can go wrong. We can get there when we get there to kind of bring out the excuses or for why you should get another shot for me to defend you. But if you come out with another one of those floopy 10-2 quarterfinal loss years with this roster, which I think from top to bottom is the best in America, rut-row, Raggy. I can't defend that anymore. I guess if we want to talk about some of the new schools, like you said, I don't think UCLA does anything ever, honestly, for football. I just don't think they're a
No,
football
yeah.
power. They were just brought in to go along with USC and kind of solidify the LA media market for the Big Ten. Washington, I think they lost so much, and they did bring in a good coach, Jed Fish from Arizona, but this is absolutely a rebuilding year. And then with the USC thing, I just don't think that Lincoln Riley has built this team in a way that you can be successful at the highest level of Big Ten football. Obviously, on certain kind of flashy positions, they should be able to get to 8 wins, but they don't have some smash mouth running game. They don't have an elite defense, and you're going to get exposed when Ohio State walks into town and they just alternate Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins for 7 yards per carry for the entire game. There's nothing USC, the way that USC's currently built, is going to be able to do about that. And I don't even think they play each other, but I'm just using that as an example. All the other school, I actually guess there's two more schools that I want to talk about, is Penn State, because Penn State is going to be the team and the college that benefits most from the expanded playoff. I was looking at a couple of stats, and I don't remember the exact statistics, but it was something along the lines of like 4 of the last 6 years, if there was an expanded playoff, Penn State would have been in. And that kind of extends all the way back to the inception of the playoff, where no school would have made more playoffs had it always been 12 teams, from the ones that obviously never made it, than Penn State. So they're going to be very, very happy. They're also going to be very happy the divisions are gone, because they no longer have to play Michigan and in Ohio State every single year. So that's very nice for them. But James Franklin, lunatic, big game, brain freeze. I'm sure this is a 10-2 first round exit or first round victory, depending on what seed they are. If they're a home seed, I can see a nice whiteout game at night and they kind of ride that to a victory against a weaker team. If they're on the road, I assume they lose.
They're an interesting one because this is the best roster he's had talent-wise at Penn State. Like you said, though, hasn't been able to win the game. Drew Aller, as a redshirt freshman last year, was quite frankly what held them back
It was
offensively.
awful.
And you look for him, if he could, he's obviously young. It's not impossible for him to take steps forward. But if he doesn't, I don't really see how you can truly think you're a true national championship contender with him at quarterback. You still have one of the best running back rooms in the league. Abdul Carter's still on defense. It's still one of the best defenses in the country. Like you said, the schedule, you have no Michigan and you have no Oregon. Your toughest games are Washington, USC at home, and Ohio State. So they play one ranked team the entire year. That's Ohio State. So there's no reason this team shouldn't, like you said, win 10 games and be in a playoff.
Yeah, the last team,
So
I was
go
going to
ahead.
say, I just wanted to bring up Michigan because they lose so much, and there is obviously clouds about whenever the NCAA does show up with the notice of allegations, but Michigan still has some elite players. Will Johnson is the best defensive player in football. I don't care if he's a corner, not a defensive end. He's the best defensive player in football. And the only reason he may or may not, because he's absolutely a top 10 player in football, forget about offense or defense. The only reason he might not be a top 10 pick next year in the draft is because his position is not deemed important, and other teams might value a tackle or a quarterback or defensive end. But he's sensational. You talk about Kenneth Grant and Mason Graham, two other kind of elite defensive linemen that are projected in the upper echelons of the first round. With that said, though, they only return two other starters from the rest of that team outside of those three players that I just named. You also then have, and I don't want to turn this into that because it's just it. This is not what the topic's for. But is Sharon Moore even going to be there for the full season? Who knows? Because with the latest kind of update in the whole Connor Stallions thing, you have kind of the news come out that on the day that the Connor Stallion stuff breaks out, Sharon Moore goes and deletes 50 plus text messages. And I don't
Right.
know about you, but innocent people don't do that when
Yep.
the person that's being investigated is linked to him and he starts deleting stuff. Innocent people don't do that. Again, I'm not going to go any further into that because it has no, it's not what we're talking about. But is he going to stay there? Who knows? So there's a lot of cloudiness about this team, but they have absolutely every reason to think that they could also be playing for a playoff spot. I don't think they're going to be in that kind of top tier with an Ohio State, with a Georgia, with an Oregon, but they can absolutely compete for one of those last couple seeds.
I think their problem, Michigan's problem, is the pro is what Penn State benefits from, is that with so many teams, it's kind of a crapshoot on how hard your schedule is. And Michigan is going to play Oregon and Ohio State this year, and also has to play Texas in a non-conference game.
Look at them. They finally scheduled a Power Five school for the first time in a decade. I'm proud.
So Big Ten, I had three playoff teams: Oregon, Ohio State, and Penn State.
Yeah, I can probably agree with that. Like I said, give me Michigan as a fringe team, depending on maybe how the seedings kind of shake out. But that I agree with that.
Team to watch, I said team to watch won't be anywhere near a playoff hunt, is year two of Luke Fickell in Wisconsin, guy who's had success. Curious to see what they'll do.
I thought you were going to say year two of Matt Rhule.
No, I unfortunately don't think they'll be quite as fun to watch. I mean, I guess with Raiola's kid, you never know, but I don't think that's this year.
Oh boy. All right. Should we go to the other super conference just
Out
so
of the
we can
Super
get.
Conference, the SEC, the boys of the South, they add Texas and Oklahoma. They make a good conference even better as far as football goes. Again, this is another, I think, two-team race. There's obviously, I think, more names that are closer to those two teams. One of them is the team they add in Texas. Lots of talent there. Quarterback Quinn Ewers stays. And then the other is obviously probably the best team in the country, like you said. I think Ohio State also has a better roster, but if you're gonna put a bullet to my head and say who's the best team and who do you trust to win the big game, it's the University of Georgia. They've
Completely
taken
agree.
over that role of we want Bama. It's the last 5 years, it's we want Georgia now, and this team is nothing for, is nothing different than those teams in the past years. I look for them. I think they go as Carson Beck goes. He kind of showed flashes last year of being, you don't even have to be elite, but a good college quarterback. He's still pretty young. If he can kind of be a little more consistent in those flashes, I think they're going to run the table here pretty easily in the SEC. Other teams I have at the top: Alabama, new coaching regime, obviously. No more Nick Saban. Seemed like a lot of people ended up staying, and DeBoer has actually seemed like he's a much more of a player's coach, and that a lot of guys like him. They obviously bring back Jalen Milroe, who, as up and down as he can be, is probably an above average, I say probably, college quarterback. Ole Miss has a very good squad this year. This is as Lane Kiffin kind of gets farther into this Ole Miss regime. His recruiting classes and the culture he's building gets more and more elite. They're kind of also like that
Penn State.
Oregon Penn State thing, and that like they just are a good team that can't seem to put it together when it matters most the last two, say, 2 or 3 years. And then LSU in the Brian Kelly era, obviously with Jaden Daniels gone, you couldn't win with him. I think they have a talented roster again, but I don't think they're necessarily quote that close to being a playoff team this year. What do you got to add?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Georgia. I completely agree with you. I think this is the best team in America, and I think Carson Beck is the difference maker. I've always put a lot of emphasis on returning quarterbacks in college football. I think if you look back at it, the last time a first year quarterback won a national championship was Trevor Lawrence at Clemson in 2018. And I guess this, like, the only half question mark there is, do you count Mac Jones as a first year? Because while it was his first year as a starter in 2020,
He was a fifth-year senior.
he was with that program before, so he kind of understood what was going on. Then obviously you move on to Stetson Bennett, you move on to Joe Burrow in his, I think, second or third year at LSU. Obviously JJ, we all know about him. So it's just one of those where continuity at quarterback, I've always kind of said is so important. So I can't sit here and just kind of abandon that now. I do think that Carson Beck will be the difference between a Georgia and Ohio State in kind of a hypothetical and then potentially a reality matchup should we get that down the line.
ETN's brother.
Yeah, I mean, from Florida, yeah, Trevor Etienne. I don't really know how good or bad he is. The thing that's interesting is Carson Beck, while he hasn't necessarily lit anything up, he's kind of one of the two favorites for the number one pick next year, just because I think it's a very, very weak quarterback class. Maybe
Yeah.
not as bad as a couple years ago when Kenny Pickett was QB1 and then no
Yeah.
other quarterback went until like round four. But I guess the other thing that Georgia has that they don't typically have, and I mean, kudos to them for maybe not. This is not them specifically, but kudos to Georgia and the rest of the SEC. Georgia plays Clemson week one. It's one of the very, very rare years that Alabama and Georgia will actually play each other in the regular season. It's like the third
Wow.
scheduled regular season meeting in like 12 years because they just intentionally keep them apart. They have Texas, they have Tennessee, they have Ole Miss.
Oof,
You
they got
mentioned kind of.
Gonsha.
Oh, if you want to talk about a gauntlet, just wait till you hear Alabama's schedule. It's insane. But you have 15 starters kind of return to that team and that program. And I think people forget that Georgia team has lost one game since the 2021 SEC title game. That's ridiculous.
Yep, two
So,
undefeated seasons, and yeah.
well, not necessarily two undefeated. It was obviously they won the Natty 21, undefeated 22, and then last year we're undefeated all the way until the SEC title game
Yes,
again.
championship. Yep.
So, yeah, it's kind of wild how the time flies and you realize there is only one loss since then, but they're loaded. Talking about gauntlets, let's go to Alabama. For the first time ever, or maybe not ever, but first time in a while, Alabama's going to play a true road game against a Power Five school. They're heading to Wisconsin for Camp Randall Stadium. I
Really?
don't think Wisconsin's a good team by any means, but at least Alabama's going to play a road environment, which is something they never used to do with Saban. They also, like I said, they have Georgia. There's the classic rivalry games with LSU, Tennessee, Auburn. They draw newcomer Oklahoma, and they have to play Missouri. So they've.
It was a frisky team also this year.
Exactly. I mean, they kind of draw murderer's row there. But I mean, you mentioned Jalen Milroe coming back. You mentioned Kalen DeBoer kind of being a little bit more of a player's coach versus Saban, who was a little bit more of an X's and O's and
General.
Jarrell, run that route again. And I'm not
Yeah.
going to tell you, so quit asking. But I mean, he'll quickly be able to, like, this is Kalen DeBoer. I'm talking, he'll quickly be able to show kind of sink or swim. What am I? What am I worth? Now, this doesn't mean that the expectation should be Natty or bust year one because that might be a little unfair to him, but he'll at least have the opportunity to kind of plant some seeds and to plant kind of a future for the Alabama fans and the Alabama boosters of this is what my program and this is what your program is going to look like post Nick Saban.
Yeah.
So opportunity there, good team. I'm sure they'll be in a playoff just because it's Alabama. Just
Yep.
like kind of one of those other schools that said they could probably go 8-4 and still make the playoff just because the committee's going to give them that much of a boost from their schedule. You talk Texas, bring back Quinn Ewers. He also has every right, kind of given the relative weakness of the QB class, to cement himself as a high first round pick.
I'd argue he might be the best quarterback in college football when it's all said and done
Yes,
this
he
year.
might. Like I said, they're like you're if you think about it right now, and obviously we haven't played the games yet. There's no Caleb Williams prospect. There's not even a Drake May prospect in this class where a year in advance you're like, oh, this guy's right at the top. It's
Right.
pretty much Shedeur Sanders, who I think is awful. I'm just gonna
Same.
get that out of the way. Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers are really your top three quarterbacks. And
Give me Quinn Ewers of those three too.
yeah, so and he's got every chance to do what he wants to do there. I guess if we want to talk about kind of losses, Texas already lost running back CJ Baxter for the season. He was supposedly next in line for that kind of Texas RBU claim. I guess their schedule isn't as grueling as some of the others in the SEC. They miss out on Alabama and they miss out on kind of that second tier of opponent. They don't have to play LSU, they don't have to play Missouri, don't have to play Tennessee, don't have to play Ole Miss. Obviously, they'll have Georgia, and you talked about the Michigan game earlier, and of course the return of the rivalry at Texas A&M. But I think Texas kind of drew a nice fair, or maybe not fair, but a nice lucky
Yeah.
year one of the SEC, if you will. And also just a fun fact, because I was looking about this with the Texas A&M rivalry. The last time those two schools played each other was in 2011, and the game ended with some random dude named Justin Tucker kicking a game-winning field goal.
Huh.
There's a fun fact.
That's a long time ago.
Yes, it is.
How many teams do you have in the SEC making the playoffs?
Probably three or four, just because there's always going to be the SEC bias. Honestly, let me just say four right out the bat. That there's always going to be the SEC bias, and like I said, some of these guys could go 8-4 and they'd still make it in.
Yep. I have Bama, Georgia, Texas, and Ole Miss.
Sure, I'm not going to fight that. I give me the like, give me the top three that you mentioned, and then one of that second tier that I mentioned kind of a couple minutes ago.
So that's, I have 7 of the 12 being either from the Big Ten or the SEC.
Yep. Agree.
The ACC. The ACC adds, when I was writing the ads, I wrote Cal, Stanford, and SMU in parentheses, all non-factors.
Complete zeros.
This is kind of like it was last year. It's a two-team race of only two teams that are relevant. I mean, I think maybe you look at an NC State as and a Miami as competitive options, but there's really only two teams that I even think have a bid for the playoffs. And I think I wrote down either one of the two will make it. I'm not sure which one, because they both have their questions. Quite, and that's Florida State and Clemson. Clemson, who knows at this point what you're going to get with them from the Dabo Sweeney era if I don't do the transfer portal. I think they're a good team and they're going to be in that 9+ win circle because they don't play anybody in this conference and they're still able to get big time recruits despite the transfer portal era. But is Caleb Klubnik the guy at quarterback? He enters his second year as a starter. Didn't go so well for him in the first year. And for Florida State, they lose quite a bit after their kind of tragic exit. Of being the first undefeated Power Five team to not make the playoffs. It's kind of a new regime there. It's DJ Uiagalelei is the quarterback now. He's on his third school.
Uiagalelei.
I can't, I'm not even
I
going to
know.
attempt to be able to say it. But is he the guy? Who knows? He was much better at Oregon State last year, but I don't think he's anywhere near what a Travis Hunter would be. So yeah, I don't like. Is anybody else even worth mentioning in this conference besides the four teams I said? And really, it's only two teams.
I guess that give me the let me throw my hat in the ring for Louisville.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
Year one of Jeff Brom, they made an ACC title game, and apparently they also brought in the number one transfer portal class in all of America.
Okay.
So maybe Louisville gets to build off of that in a weak conference. I mean, you mentioned Miami, I think year three of Mario Cristobal now, and he better get it right because if not, Mr. Super Booster himself, John Ruiz, is going to be the first guy on the phone saying, "Mario, pack your bags. Thank you for the memories. Except you didn't give me any memories, which is why I'm firing your ass."
Yeah. And that one, I know that's a money thing, but that'll never make sense why he went there.
I agree. He had a lot. He had some good things built at Oregon, and you
Yeah.
know what? Maybe the argument is Dan Lanning took it a step further, but who knows? If I had to sit here and you said gun to my head, I can't believe I'm going to do this again. And I'm gonna get burned by them again, but just give me Clemson. I don't even know, man.
Yeah, I just said either Florida State or Clemson. I don't know which one of those will be in the playoffs.
I guess in Clemson's defenses, they do have, because if Clemson goes out and beats Georgia week one, they do kind of have that little trump card in their hat of, well, look what we did. We can now go 9-3 and then point to one of those nine wins being one of the best wins in America.
Yeah.
So I guess Clemson does have a little bit of wiggle room with the way their kind of schedule starts in week one. But I have no faith in them beating Georgia. Just gonna throw that out there.
Yeah. Anything else to add on the ACC?
Absolutely not. Dumpster fire of a conference.
The Big 12, they also had quite a few schools. They had Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. Weird. I think they're the only conference, I guess Oregon, in the Big 10. But I wrote Utah coming in and being the best team after not being in that conference is odd. I think they are the best team. They're still a huge question mark because Cam Rising, as good as he was 2 years ago is now 2 years ago. He comes back after missing the entire season last year. They kind of go as he goes. I think he, well, maybe not a pro prospect, could easily, if he comes back and develops from what he was, could be one of the, a guy you're talking about is one of the best quarterbacks in that country, like in the country, like we mentioned. Kansas State will compete. They've been good the last couple of years. Arizona has kind of evolved into this competitive program. Oklahoma State is always going to be in that mix, I think, within the Gundy kind of regime. They kind of seem to be in this fight. And yeah, it's a, I wrote it down as the conference of a lot of very solid to mid teams, where like the ACC has some really bad teams. But obviously they're top heavy with two, like Clemson and Florida State, I think are two for sure top 20, 15 programs. I'm not sure the Big 12 for sure has any, unless Utah, unless Cam Rising is good again, essentially. I have two playoff teams in there for them. And the other thing I wrote down was Colorado question mark. Are they going to take a step from what they were in the you're shaking your head and making other gestures as well. I think they're going to be better, and I think the hype is kind of gone, and it's prove it or lose it time. I think they're not going to play the gauntlet they played last year in the Pac-12, so they're going to have that going for them. But they're just a giant question mark as well. Arizona State, the other ad, they suck. They're not going to be good ever. So, yeah, I don't know. Just a bunch of mid here. I have Utah and Oklahoma State as my playoff teams.
Yeah, I kind of had this labeled as the Wild Wild West. There's not really a top tier program in this with Texas and Oklahoma going. You mentioned Arizona kind of having become this pretty decent team. Obviously, they lose Jed Fish, but they I don't know why Jed Fish didn't take these players with him, but Noah Fifta and Tet McMillan are both stay, so they kind of will have a little bit of offensive firepower. Obviously Oklahoma State with Mike Gundy, who happens to be the dumbest coach in America with his response
Yeah.
to the Ollie Gordon DUI. they
He's
always seem
drunk
to be.
drove by his calculations 1,000 times in his life.
Yeah, they always seem to be players in the Big 12, and that was even with Texas and OU, so there's no reason to think that they can't do it again. You mentioned Kyle Whittingham and Cam Rising. That team brings back 14 starters. We'll see what Cam Rising looks like after, like you said, not only like technically after missing an entire year of football, but also physically, because whatever that knee injury was, which I don't even know if it ever came out, but that was one of the most mysterious things I've ever seen, where
Yeah.
it started as, oh yeah, he might be available for week one. Oh yeah, we're targeting week three. Oh yeah, we'll see him in week five. Oh
Yeah,
yeah, no,
but
he's actually out for the season. And they never said what it was.
no, it
At
was
least if they
something
did,
from
I
that
didn't
Rose
see it.
Bowl game the year before.
Oh, even
That's
better. This dude's
when
been
it
hurt for two
happened.
and a half years. He's
Yeah.
Jameson Williams.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see what they look like. I will also probably go with you with kind of saying Utah and Oklahoma State. And maybe the only thing that I can really add to this is while this looks like kind of a wild, wild west, this does have the opportunity, in my opinion, to maybe produce a couple of two-loss teams and kind of like the Pac-12, maybe they just cannibalize each other and they all fall out of a playoff race, or maybe
Yeah, I
because
can see
there's
it.
now there's a little bit more room. Maybe one of them can push a little. Hey, I'm 11-1, but as always, I lose to a 9-3 team. But because the 9-3 team now guaranteed gets in, I'm now 11-2, and we can get our shit rocked by Penn State and by LSU or Alabama in the first round games, kind of as it will always go with those Big 12 schools. I don't. I guess the only thing I can really add. You mentioned Colorado. I absolutely hate Dion. I hope they go 0-12.
I definitely don't like have the hype factor that I did last year, but I wouldn't say I hate
Well,
him or even think he's that bad of a coach. I don't like I just I don't think you're like Colorado, even Deion Sanders at that name is ever gonna make Colorado into this like nine expect to win 9+ game a season program.
maybe if he tried. I don't know if you've seen the reports. He is not once has he gone on a recruiting visit.
No, yeah, I could see that.
Well, that's part of the
He
issue.
just,
How are you going
well,
to be a head
that's
coach if
his
you don't?
problem is he just wants it to be hype factor and not
Okay.
actually.
Then good. If you don't want to put in the work to be the head coach, don't be a head coach.
Right. I don't disagree.
And obviously, and I don't want to go too far into this because it's just going to turn into the rumor mill, but you read the stories and he's out there being an ass to players, encouraging them to beat the shit out of each other, openly telling a bunch of kids that they're jokes and they have no future. And it's like, dude, you're a grown ass adult. Like, you want to sit there and encourage players to leave, sure, but do it like an adult. Don't do it like a bully. I hate this guy. You have like like cool, yeah. Your kid has the pro chance. Congrats, you're Deion Sanders. Like, of course he has a pro chance.
Right.
I despise everything about that school, about his program of Colorado is a better way of putting it.
And last but not least, my 12th team that I wrote down was, unfortunately, comma, Notre Dame.
Who's gonna be your fifth champion? Because you need a fifth
Oh
champion.
yeah, so I that was before I didn't know that about the five thing, the Power Five thing until you told me.
Just say Liberty because everyone assumes it's going to be Liberty.
Liberty, is Coastal Carolina still good? I don't know.
Probably. I don't know either. So I'm sure someone, hey, maybe Boise State out in the Mountain West
Boise
with
State.
is it Ashton Jeanty, the running back, or I forget what his exact name is, but I don't know. I agree with you. I think Notre Dame's in. I think the Big Ten's going to put three in, four from the SEC. One from the ACC, two from the Big 12, and then one final one. And if that's 13, cut one of the ones from the Big 12.
That is 13. Yeah, I'd agree.
Cut one of the ones from the Big 12 because Notre Dame's a bigger brand, and we need money. We sold our
Yep.
souls to the TV networks. We need money in this sport.
But that's unfortunately what you get, I think, in like when you make it subjective like that, like rankings like that. It's not like the NFL where there's an objective
Yeah,
measure to get
I
into the
know.
playoffs.
I know. I'm aware. As this is not a new issue, we've had this problem for almost a decade now.
Yeah, right. That's why I don't like, I don't really bat an eye at that part of it, because it's like, is that not really what, like, Florida State, if that were the case, Florida State would have been in the playoffs last year, not Alabama.
I know.
So.
But yeah, well done. There's kind of the college football preview. Like I said, we'll do Michigan State specifically, where in a couple of weeks where we'll probably go game by game, talk about key additions that Jonathan Smith brought with him, maybe some departures. I don't even know if you can call players that Michigan State has had over the last 2 years key departures, but we'll talk about some guys that are no longer with the program, and we'll see where we get to.
Yeah, man, that's going to require some research, because off the hop, it's going to be another rough year in East Lansing.
Hey, we got Aiden Childs and Nick Marsh, baby.
I think eventually it will be okay, and they'll go to like a team that is maybe like in the playoff hunt every 3 or 4 years, but it's not going to be this year. That's for damn sure.
All right. If you made it this far, thank you very much. Given we're talking about college, I will give a rare go green as a sign off, and I turn it over to you.
Yeah. Go great.